Our next speaker is someone who is near and dear to all of us up here. Whether you've known her all your life or just met her, Ashley is someone you cannot help but look up to.
I crossed paths with Ashley shortly after she started her journey as a national officer. I admire her love for FFA, family, friends, and Starbucks. She's shown true compassion, not just towards agriculture, but people in general. To the girl whose heart is national blue and corn gold, I'm so proud of you.
As you may have noticed, Ashley's greatest strength is not her height. Although I spend much of my time looking down at my little big sister, I look up to her just as much because she is persistent, hardworking, and talented. She may look small, but she has grown this year more than anyone I know. Please help us to welcome
our sister,
my friend,
and your Eastern Region Vice President,
Ashley Willett.
What does the word love mean to you?
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
It's complicated. Love is a complicated thing.
I think love is just a form of God.
Well, if you're talking family-wise, it means everything. But if you're talking like marriage, I mean, you could be single, and that's kind of what I want to do.
Love for me is being 100% vulnerable and all the way in, you know.
Love means accepting people the way they are.
I think that it's being able to do something for somebody else that maybe you wouldn't normally do or maybe you wouldn't want to do, but you do it anyway because it's something that they want to do.
It's something you do on a day-to-day basis. And so you can hold affection and you can hold nostalgia, but I think love is active.
Some of the best conversations that I've had this year are what I like to call life chats. These are the kind of conversations that have allowed me to meet incredible people and think in ways that I never had before. So let's have one of those life chats right now. What does love mean to you? Maybe it's something we saw in the video, or maybe it's something completely different. When I was younger, I thought love was what happened at the end of the fairy tales, when the prince and the princess lived happily ever after. Any other hopeless romantics in here? Let me hear ya. In my preteen years, love looked like awkward crushes. Who knows what I'm talking about? And in high school, love looked like my first real boyfriend and a prom date. While love can be all of those things, love to me now is a series of actions. It's a commitment to the people in our lives, and it's being willing to say, I'm with you, no matter what happens. This change of thought came from a life chat that I was having with my teammate David earlier in the year. That night, he told me about this concept. It challenges people to ask themselves the question, are you loving others in the best way? Is what you're doing right now the best way that you can be showing love to the people around you? So, what is our best love? I got to thinking, and this is what I came up with. It's the idea that we can choose the way that we love people. We're not asking for permission to love them. We're simply doing it anyway. When we give our best love, we find and focus on the great in others, and then we look into understanding in every single moment. The phrase, our best love, is something that I heard this year. But it's actually been given to me my entire life without me even knowing it. From fifth grade to sophomore year, my parents cheered me on through every miscatch and strikeout of my softball career. I rarely played, but every single game they came and cheered on the sideline for my teammates. Well, I also cheered for my teammates. on my favorite spot on the bench. Yeah. And then I heard the words I had been waiting to hear all season long. My coach, Coach Steckley, turned to me and he said, "Ashley, you're going in to play third." Me? What? You're talking to me? You got the right Ashley. I'm going in to play third? I'd been waiting all season to hear these words, so I ran to third as fast as I possibly could, and I got down in my best athletic stance. This was my moment. My moment to be awesome, my moment to be the hero, and my moment to make the game-winning play. I dug my cleat in the ground to show that I meant business. "Come on, Ashley, you have done this a million times in practice. You know exactly what to do. All you gotta do is catch that ball, throw that ball, runner's gonna be out, crowd's gonna go wild, and you are going to be the game-winning hero." Batter hits the ball. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming toward me. It's coming. It's hitting my glove. It's bouncing off my glove. I run to it as awkwardly as a human can, and when I pick it up, I throw it harder than I ever had. And consider it a perfect throw. Had our first baseman been the height of an ant, the ball skidded to the ground and the runner was safe. And because my teammates couldn't boo me, I heard cheers of, "Come on, ladies, we'll get this back. Ash, you got it next time." Turns out, didn't have it next time. Every single time the ball came to me, I'd either fumble it, overthrow it, underthrow it, or just miss it altogether. At the end of the inning, my coach came to me and he said, "Ash, I think I'm going to take you out." "Coach, I think that is a really good idea." Needless to say, that was my first and last time as third baseman. In fact, I didn't even play the rest of the season. But still, my parents came to almost every single game of my softball career. Now, you may be thinking that my parents are hardcore followers of junior varsity softball, and that's why they came. They're not. But you also may be thinking, well, your parents kind of had to come. You know, parents are supposed to do those things, they're kind of supposed to love you, and they're like supposed to believe in you and stuff. And my parents do. But there's one thing that you have to know about my dad specifically. My dad is actually my stepdad. When I was just 4 years old, my dad married into a family with an incredible single mom and two kids. Now imagine your average kid, whiny, complains, and cries a lot. I've heard rumors that I could have been like that from time to time, but I couldn't even imagine how intimidating it must have been for my dad to marry into a family full of preschool, little league sports practices, and all the other crazy things that come along with having kids. I've learned that I may have never had my game-winning moments during softball, but the moments I had during every single one of those games were my moments to be loved. You see, my dad probably didn't care much about softball at all, but what he did care about was showing me his best love. And his best love is always finding the great in me. It's believing in my potential by always supporting me. My dad saw the value in loving my family. He saw what was great in my brother and I and what could be great. Now let's get one thing straight. My life was not awful before my dad came into it. But it has certainly been better because of his constant love. And just like any father-daughter relationship, we'll have our ups and downs and our disagreements. But even when things aren't at their best, even when we're frustrated with each other, I know that he refuses to believe that there isn't great in me. He pushes past the struggles, finds great, and he chooses to love me. Loving others is something that we commit to. Some days it's easy, but other days it's uncomfortable. It's hard to do, and is easy to give up on. But when we give our best love, we realize that it's not our job to change people, but it is our job to love them. This year, I was reminded of that by a group of people when I got to travel to Iowa to hang out with the state officers. Yeah, there they are. So when I traveled to Iowa, I got to hang out with the state officers as they prepped for convention. And if any of you have ever gone through a convention prep, you know that those days are long and stressful and tiring. But after that long day, the team and I sat down and took some time to read a story from one of my favorite books, Love Does. After we got done reading, the team took some time to share what they love about each other. At the beginning, each person on the team started with a blank poster. But by the end, every single person's poster was filled with words of affirmation, words of love from their teammates. After a day that was long and stressful and tiring, they were able to find great in each other. We can do that too. We can love imperfect people when we choose not to focus on the imperfection. What we focus on is what we see. But in order to truly give our best love, we have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at with this. What are you focusing on in others? Are you the kind of person that's letting little frustrations get in the way of giving big love? Are you giving your best love all of the time, or just when it's convenient? We give our best love when we love people through every moment, when we find great in people in every moment, whether that moment be happy, sad, beautiful, or messy. And once we find great, we have to choose to look into understanding, even in the most frustrating of times. Speaking of frustrating, one of the most frustrating parts about growing up with four brothers was trying to pick something to watch on TV. It seemed like getting all of us to agree on one TV show was pretty near impossible. That was until we discovered American Ninja Warrior. Any fans in the house? American Ninja Warrior is a show all about parkour running. Basically, friends, it's a show with really fast, really athletic people that are running through the craziest obstacles you could imagine. If you have never seen the show, I highly recommend it. But when I think about it, my little brothers probably loved the craziness of the show because growing up with them was pretty crazy in itself. It seemed like the boys were always doing something that involved climbing, wrestling, or purposefully inflicting pain upon each other. And Wyatt, the youngest of the brothers, yeah, look at him. He certainly holds up to his end of the reputation. So let me paint you a picture of the house that we live in. We have a kitchen that's connected to a dining room that around the corner is connected to a pretty long hallway that's about, 3.5 feet wide. And one time, my mom was working in the kitchen and she was doing her thing when she heard the sound that strikes fear into the heart of any parent. Silence. With four boys, no sound is no good. So she walked out of the kitchen, through the dining room, turned the hallway, and she saw Wyatt, hands and feet pressed up against the hallway walls, standing 6 feet above our hardwood floors. He was scaling the walls like he was some sort of Spider-Man. Now, let's just say, my little brother was not expecting to see my mom, and my mom was not expecting to see anybody scaling the walls. But without even missing a beat, she said the thing that when any kid hears it, they know they're in a whole lot of trouble. She said his last name. Wyatt Phelps, what are you doing? What are you even thinking? Get your butt down from there right now. A quick hop down from Wyatt and instant tears. Now, I'm not just talking about like the whimpering, like cute little cry that kids do sometimes. I'm talking about enough tears that you would have believed she had taken away his birthday. But through all of those tears, Wyatt said, but Mom, I'm training for American Ninja Warrior. My mom telling my little brother to get down, it was probably really great parenting on her part. The less arms and legs that go through the walls, the better. But it was what happened at the end of that situation that made it all make just a little bit more sense. It was when my mom listened to my little brother's intentions that she understood why he did it. He didn't climb the walls to be bad. It was just simply part of his training plan. Now, I am not saying my mom thought it was okay for him to be climbing the walls. But what I am saying is that we should do what my mom did in that situation in our everyday lives. We should be open to listening to the reasons why people do things. When we give our best love, we look into why. We look into the reasons behind a person's actions. Brandon Stanton from Humans of New York does this in an incredible way. Starting in New York City, he interviewed strangers. But more than that, he took their picture and then he took the time to listen to their story. He started in New York City, but now he's interviewed people in over 20 countries. And those stories fill blogs, social media posts, and several books. He interviews people like this woman. A week ago, she lost her job. A job that she had had for 6 years. Out of 10 people on her team, she was the only one let go. This woman has spent the last week crying, trying to figure out what she did wrong and why she's unneeded. And he interviews people like this man. While fighting for our country in Fallujah, he and his company were pinned down inside a building for an entire day. Machine guns firing at every entrance, grenades slamming against the walls, and enemy men sneaking up all around. When given orders to advance in the midst of machine gun fire, he had to make quick decisions that allowed all 25 men in his company to survive. It is safe to say that those experiences shape the way that they think, feel, and act on a daily basis. But if we would have never known those things, if we would have never have known those stories, how would we have known that those are the reasons behind their actions? That's their why. If those people did something that we didn't agree with, instead of taking the time to listen and understand and hear out their story, would we have just jumped to our own conclusions, written their story for them, and gotten frustrated? The hard truth is that we probably would have just gotten frustrated. myself included. How often do we do this in our own lives? It's like when we have that teacher who is the definition of mean teacher. But what we don't know is that she's got two kids at home that keep her up all night long, and she just spent the last class period being openly disrespected by another student. Or when we've got that friend who's annoying us. And instead of taking the time to sit down, chat with them, hear them out, we automatically jump to our own conclusions and judge them. When we do those things, we write people off as bad, mean, or annoying without even giving them a chance, without even knowing the reasons behind their actions. So, who are the people in your life that you're not giving a chance? The people that you're letting the things that you don't understand overpower your ability to love them. Is it a friend? A teammate, a coach, a family member, someone in your FFA chapter? It is so easy to get frustrated with people. But that's not our best love. Our best love is giving true grace. It's taking the time to listen to people instead of writing their reasons for them. It's not judging them for who they are, but figuring out why they are who they are and loving them for that. When we give our best love, we stop jumping to conclusions and we start seeking understanding. When we give our best love, we realize why. We are called to love people. But even more than that, people don't just need our love. The kind of love that's merely a word, not backed by any action. People need our best love. But even if we commit to giving our best love and we leave this convention, it does not mean that we will never get frustrated with people. It does not mean that everybody starts to become our best friend forever. And it certainly does not mean that we start to agree with everyone on everything. But what it does mean is that we commit to giving the kind of love that allows us to find great in others and love them for that. It allows us to commit to the kind of love that allows us to understand the reasons behind a person's action, their why. The most important thing, and probably the easiest to forget, is that it's not just our friends, family, and mentors that need our best love. There's no criteria for people that need our best love, no checklist that makes them worthy. Everybody deserves our best love. The CEO and the janitor deserve our best love. The popular kid and the kid with no friends need our best love. The definition of mean teacher and our mentors need our best love. And the person we think we have nothing in common with and our best friend need our best love. So throw away the easy version of love and stop writing the reasons why we shouldn't love others, because that's when our love is real, and that's when our love is our best love. Take these words that I'm speaking, love. Take these thoughts that I'm thinking, love. Take me over, love. Fill up all of my space and love. Come stand here in my place and love. Hear this prayer that I'm praying, love. Take me, love. Take me over, love. Take me over. Take me over.
Been able to see your love for ice cream, coffee, and maple syrup. But none of these surpass your love for love, building relationships, and making the people around you feel special. Thank you for always valuing the people in your life and finding the best in others. We've seen your competitive spirit and admire the drive it gives you to be the best version of yourself. Above all, thank you for teaching us what it looks like to be intentional. You can, because you did, and we will love you always. Deshaun, David, Trey, Val, and Vic. Ladies and gentlemen, your Eastern Region Vice President from the state of New York, Miss Ashley Willis.